Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. This is talking about the apostles from the day of Pentecost. And they continued steadfastly, in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So we're going to look tonight at doctrine, sound doctrine, teaching, instruction. The two main words used in the New Testament, didache, which means teaching, and didaskalia, which means teaching or instruction. Teaching or instruction. It can actually, the second word can actually refer to teaching, the content, or it can actually refer to the action of teaching. Doctrine, that's what it is, teaching. And we need to be taught. We need to be taught of the Lord. And that's what the New Testament sets out before us. There's a lot of teaching in the churches. From these tapes, is it all sound doctrine? Teaching. That's what we need. Sound doctrine. Safe. Healthy. Uncorrupt doctrine. Sound. That which is of God is sound. Right doctrine. Sound doctrine. Sound teaching. This is the practical bit. Remember, these studies are to do with practical issues of the life of faith. And later on, as we go through these studies, we might actually be homing in on some specific practical issues, like problems about the Lord's Day, tithing, evangelism, praying, breaking of bread, and so on. If you've got right teaching, if you've got sound doctrine, then the sound doctrine becomes the foundation, because the sound doctrine is Jesus, and Jesus is always the foundation, the sure foundation. If you've got the right doctrine, you've got the basis for right action and right living. We want to put the cart before the horse and say, what have I got to do? And somebody says, you've got to do that, brother. You've got to do that, sister. Stop wearing that suit, brother. That's like the world wears. Stop wearing that tie. That's not the sort of thing you should be doing. Girls shouldn't be wearing trousers, and so on. I've heard them all through the years. And people think that if they've got the right list of rules, and they've, you know, they're continually adding to the list, of course, that somehow or other, inside, they're going to be right with God. And God is going to be pleased with them. But it works the other way round. If we've got the right foundation, if we've got the right doctrine, then the right actions and the right life will stem from that. You've got to get it the right way round. It won't work the other way. And Jesus is at the centre of all this. We're talking about sound doctrine, we're talking about Jesus. So these talks, these messages, are not a series of how-to messages. You know, those books you can find of how to do this, how to evangelise, how to win friends and influence people, Dale Carnegie. How to do all these things. And you think, I'll read the magic book, how to, I'll get the secret of how to do it, put the principles into practice and do it. These are not a series of how-tos, but we're looking at the source of all right action and right living. Last week it was be filled by the Spirit. Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. And this is the basis of all sound doctrine. Without him we can do nothing. If we're looking at practical issues of the life of faith, without him we can do nothing. It's God that works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. And if you leave Jesus out, you're not going to live right. If you leave Jesus out, you leave him out, you're not going to live lives that are pleasing to God. So we're thinking about the answer. We're pointing to the one who is the answer, rather than saying, this is how you do it. Now, I've read about and been on the periphery of a lot of these how-to stuff in the churches. How to prophesy. How to dance in the Spirit. Amazing, isn't it? Because if you're going to work by a set of mechanical principles, you're going to cut God out. The Lord must be first. Bear in mind that we're talking about the heart. We're not talking about the mind, the head, in the first place. It's not what you can think and devise. Be filled by the Holy Spirit. We need his teaching. We need his doctrine. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, 13, it says, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, that appeals to the mind, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, that's the unsaved man, the man that's not born again, or the person that's not born again of God's Spirit, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. If you're not born again, all the things that we talk about week by week will be daft to you. When you're born again, then the Holy Spirit takes those things that are his, and he reveals them to our hearts. And we say, yes, that's precious. That's wonderful. I know exactly what you mean. He that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. So we've got teaching there. It's the Holy Spirit teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There has been a tendency over recent years, I think we're on the pendulum swing back away from it now, but there used to be a tendency to ignore doctrine. People at one time used to say doctrine is divisive, it divides people. And of course a lot of that had great influence in the world of Christian unity, so-called Christian unity and such like, that doctrine is divisive, so let's ignore the doctrine that divides. And anybody that can say Jesus is Lord, that's all we're interested in. Blow the doctrine, put that to one side. But you see, doctrine is important. And without sound teaching, you can't live as God wants you to. Doctrine is divisive, and it's not divisive. Doctrine is divisive in that it separates us from the world and separates us unto God. It brings us into holy living, but it unites brothers and sisters in the Lord. Doctrine is not divisive then, as far as the people of God are concerned. It's that which unites, but it actually separates away the things that are not right. And that's what we want. We want that which is unifying, but separates us unto the Lord, our God. In Proverbs chapter 4, the whole chapter in Proverbs chapter 4, is quite an interesting thing in terms of sound doctrine. I was going to read the whole chapter, but I think you better read it yourselves. We'll just read a couple of verses from it. In verse 5, it says, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not," that's wisdom, "and she shall preserve thee." Love her, that's wisdom, "and she shall keep thee." Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honour when thou dost embrace her. And so on. It goes on about wisdom and understanding. Being taught in the things of God. With all thy getting, get understanding. Doctrine is important. Sound teaching is important. In Matthew chapter 28... which we looked at not so long ago, when we did actually get to the end of Matthew's Gospel. I don't know, Ryan and Barbara, whether we had started Matthew's Gospel, but we actually finished it about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we got to the end. Matthew 28, and verse 20, this is part of the Great Commission. In verse 19, Jesus says to the disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." And we saw that word "teach" there means to disciple, make disciples of, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then verse 20 uses another word for teach, the word that we have been looking at this evening. Teaching, instructing them to observe what? To observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We center again on Jesus and what he has taught. Jesus instructed the disciples to teach, to observe all that he had commanded. Acts chapter 1, Luke wrote, didn't he? And he referred to his gospel, Luke's gospel, and he said that there in that gospel he began to write of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. It was teaching, the ministry of Jesus. And we find that in Acts chapter 11, Paul and Barnabas spent a whole year at Antioch. What were they doing? They were teaching the new converts and the disciples. It's important. that they be established with sound teaching, sound doctrine. In Acts chapter 18, Paul was in Corinth. 18 months. What was he doing for 18 months in Corinth? You know, you get a picture of Paul whizzing around sort of parts of the Roman Empire. Well, he was there for 18 months in Corinth. What was he doing? Teaching. Getting them established in doctrine so they might know the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 19-20, he's at Ephesus. You know, he met those dozen or so disciples who didn't know the Lord. He'd been baptized with John's baptism. And he preached them Jesus. And they were baptized. And they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. Spoke with other tongues and prophesied. And he spent quite a long time there. In Ephesus. What was he doing? He was teaching. How was he teaching? Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 20. And he says to them, "Remind them how I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." And in verse 27, he says, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." What teaching that is. What doctrine. How long was he there? How long have we been gathering together here? Well, I've been here 21, 22 years, is it? 1968 I came here. But in that short space of time that Paul was there, he could say to them, "I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God." The doctrine isn't complicated. Doctrine isn't 100 volumes the size of Encyclopedia Britannica on a shelf that you've got to work your way through, and you start at that end when you're a newborn Christian, you know, when you're 20 or something, and you might reach the other end by the time you're 100, and then you've got all the doctrine of God, all the counsel of God. We can be established in sound doctrine and all the counsel of God in a fairly short space of time. So much so that after 18 months in a place, Paul could ordain elders to be responsible for teaching others. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Sound doctrine. Sounds like you've got to be at it for years. It's not. It's simple. And the Lord teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. But it's important. It's not to be neglected. The Lord wants us to be taught in good things. Where there is no sound doctrine, then there's weakness. There's coldness. Amazing, for those people that say that doctrine divides, where there is no doctrine, there are divisions. And Paul said in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, he said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them, take note of them, those that cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." By doctrine, you can take note of those that cause divisions. The things that are contrary to sound doctrine. And you can avoid them. Separation, you see, from those things that are right. Trouble is with people, you see, in the church that don't have sound doctrine and say that doctrine is divisive, they want to embrace and hold on to those that will cause division. They want to embrace those who have erred from the faith. It's wrong. It says in Proverbs 11 and verse 14, "Where no counsel is, the people fall." It's weakness. We need that counsel, all the counsel of God, that teaching, which is from him. Jude says in verse 3 of Jude, his epistle, he says, "Contend earnestly for the faith." How? By knowing your sound doctrine. Contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That word "once" means completely, wholly. It's there for us to know. All the counsel of God. What's this doctrine about then? Well, maybe we'll come on to that in a few moments when we look at what is meant by the apostles' doctrine. But let us look very, very quickly through a few ideas, you see. What is this doctrine, this sound doctrine about? Well, the doctrine is about God. The doctrine is about man, fallen, sinful, separated from God. And the results of sin, the wages of sin is death. We'll find all these things about Jesus. How important it is to know who Jesus is. The sound doctrine centres upon Jesus and the person of Jesus. You look at all the errors in the modern church. And most of the errors are about Jesus, about the virgin birth, denying it, about the resurrection, denying it, about his sinless life, denying it. And people err as to the character of Jesus. Jesus, this is sound doctrine. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, without sin, holy, harmless, separate from sinners. He lived a sinless life, without sin. He died, was buried, rose again. bodily, ascended bodily into heaven, is seated bodily at the right hand of the Majesty on high, is returning to this earth bodily as judge of the living and the dead. Praise his wonderful name. Before he comes to the earth, the church is going to be called out to be with him. That's sound doctrine. It's from the Word of God. If you deny those doctrines concerning Jesus, you're erring from sound doctrine. Sound doctrine shows to us that by grace are we saved through faith. That not of ourselves. It's the gift of God. It's sound doctrine. These are the things which we find in the Scripture. Everything centres upon Jesus. Now the New Testament speaks in four places about sound doctrine and how necessary sound doctrine is. See, Jude says in the next verse, in Jude 20, he says, "Beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith." How can we build ourselves up on our most holy faith? Except by sound doctrine, by sound teaching. That's how we can. How can you have faith unless you've got sound doctrine to believe? It's important. That's why we come together around the Word of God, that we might know sound doctrine, sound teaching. How can we know whether it's sound? Because I say it? No, of course not. Because Barry Smith said? No, of course not. We've already had a look at that tonight. No, because the Word of God says it, and we compare Scripture with Scripture, spiritual things with spiritual things, and the Holy Spirit teaches us, and there is that witness in our hearts. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, this is the first reference to, and I take them in the order they come in the Scripture. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Sound doctrine in relation to present problems. You may say I've got a few of those. Well, I'm not talking about the trials of life, of the Christian life, but I'm talking about other problems which have no place in the life of the Christian. And we need to be shod of those. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 10. In fact, we can read in from a verse or two before. Verse 9 we read from. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. That's reasonable. If you're well behaved, you don't need rules, do you? Rules are for those that are likely to break them, to keep them in, to restrain them. So the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, those that give false evidence. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. These things are the things which are contrary to the law of God. And they have no place in the life of a believer. And the Bible says they're contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine shows us where we are. Sound doctrine shows us who we are. In Jesus Christ. We're not those. Maybe we were once, and the Bible says you were once like this. You were once like that. You were once murderers and thieves, and some, Paul says to the people he was writing, some of you were homosexuals and so on. He says you were once like that. But not now. Those things are contrary to sound doctrine. Isn't it amazing? That so much of this which is contrary to sound doctrine is now not only tolerated, but accepted by church leaders. Yet it's contrary to sound doctrine, which is in Jesus Christ. You hear what church leaders say. They want to appear to be nice and kind to people. But they're not showing the love of God. When they say that things like, we have homosexual priests in the church, but, you know, we can't condemn them. We all sin. They've just fallen short of an ideal. Now, an ideal is, in human language, is something which is unattainable. And we all fall short of God's ideal, so who are we to condemn? But the Bible says it's contrary to sound doctrine. The Bible says it's wrong. The Bible says it's an abomination to God. The Bible says it's sin. And the Bible shows us the remedy for sin, which is in Jesus Christ. And yes, we have no business to go around condemning people. That work of reproving people of sin is the work of the Holy Spirit. Who are we to condemn? That's right. Neither can we condone and justify that which is evil and wrong. Yes, we're all sinners. But in Jesus Christ there is salvation from sin. Now you can't change a sin by saying, well, that's not a sin really, it's falling short of an ideal. God says it's sin. God says lying is sin. How many people would agree to that today in the world, that lying is sin? Oh, you have to tell a few lies, not really sin. It says so there. It's contrary to sound doctrine. Now we're not saying that we're better than they are. We're holier than them in our own strength. In a way we are, but it's by the grace of God. But we're saying that there's a way of salvation for all men through Jesus Christ. And the church leaders, so-called, have no business to say that's not sin, because they're not serving God. The Holy Spirit says it's sin. And if men say it's not sin, then they're working against the Holy Spirit. People won't get saved unless they realise they've sinned and repent and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 to 19. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness, to follow, in other words, their own lusts and lustful desires. But in verse 20 he says this, but you have not so learned Christ. We've been taught with sound doctrine, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former way of life the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You have not so learned Christ. And the doctrine of Ephesians 4 and verse 21 is based on the new man, which is to do with Jesus Christ. So it's not a question of whether you've been able to reform your life. No good trying to compare yourself now with how you were last year, 5 years ago, and think, well, I'm a lot better than I used to be. You know, I've turned over a few new leaves and pat on the back, I'm really trying hard. And I don't do that anymore. I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore. I'm a good boy now. It's the new man that's important. It's Jesus Christ in your life that's important. If any man be in Christ, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's become a new creature, a new creation, totally changed by God. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. What a blessedness that is. This is sound doctrine, based on the new man, based upon Jesus Christ. You see, and if we have sound doctrine, those things which are wrong, those things which are contrary to God, those things which are contrary to the law, those things which are evil, which are wicked, which are an abomination to God, if we have sound doctrine and our lives are based on that, they will have no place in our lives. What will have place in our life is the new man, which, it says, is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's after God is created in that way. It's amazing how many Christians have problems with these things, with these issues, with these things that are wrong in their lives. And they struggle against them. Yet sound doctrine brings us into that right place, so that these present problems are dealt with. Why are there these problems? Because we listen also to the doctrines of men. Now Jesus spoke again and again about the doctrines of men. He said to the Pharisees and to the Jews that listened to them, you follow the doctrines of men. You Pharisees, he says, you teach the commandments of men and you teach them as doctrines. Colossians 2, 22 speaks about the same thing. Teaching the doctrines of men. Touch not, taste not, handle not. What do you mean, touch not, taste not, handle not? You mustn't touch that. You mustn't drink that. You mustn't eat that. Oh, no. You mustn't clean your car on a Sunday. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that's what people say. Touch not, taste not, handle not. People inventing rules. They're the doctrines of men. Where do you find it in the Bible that you mustn't clean your car on a Sunday? Or any like principle about doing things on a Sunday? You can't. We're going to come to a study on the Lord's Day. And the Sabbath, because it's not the Sabbath. Touch not, taste not, handle not. And people in the Colossian church were plagued with people going around. Now that you're a Christian, this is what you've got to do. Now that you're a Christian, let's see you with a shirt and tie, shall we? A decent suit. Turning up like that, you scruff. You laugh, but people have had these rules in churches, you know. Now that you're a Christian, and some of them seem quite good rules. Now that you're a Christian, you must read your Bible every morning and every evening. Now, I'm not saying don't read your Bible. Don't go away misinterpreting me. But the moment you make it a rule, it becomes a fetter about your neck. And you get up and maybe the Lord wants you to do something. You think, oh no, guilt. I haven't read my Bible this morning. I've got to read my Bible. And you open your Bible, but if you've got a system where you're reading through things, you know, chapter after chapter, as I do, or whether you take the other way that people do, let's open it at this page. Oh yeah, that's right. We'll read a chapter from there. And you read a few, and you go, right, read five verses. Right, now I can get on and do that thing. What did you read? Don't know.
But I had to read it, because I've got to read the Bible every morning.
The doctrines of men. Then you can apply it to all these things that we're going to look at, and I believe in reading your Bible every day. I believe in praying all the time. Tithing people preach about. You've got to give 10% of your untaxed, unnational insurance earnings, gross earnings. People say these things, you see. You've got to do it. God doesn't say that. God says, I love a cheerful giver. If you start giving 10% because you've got to, and then trying to work out ways of sort of maybe getting the 10% back in some way or other. These are the rules of men. But if you know sound doctrine, you will know and you will do what is right and what is pleasing to God. And I don't think we should get bound up by rules and regulations. I believe in giving. I believe in reading the Bible. I believe in using the Lord's Day for the Lord. That's between me and the Lord. What you do with it is up to you. How you give is up to you, between you and the Lord. We should be teaching the Lord sound doctrine, Jesus. After all, if you get through with Jesus, 10% won't be enough. He says, where's the other 9? You know, 10 lepers, 1 came back. He said, where's the other 9? 10%? If you get through with Jesus, 5 verses in the morning won't be enough. It's the trouble with rules, you see. You do your duty, you think, I've done it now. I've read a chapter, I'm okay. Okay for the rest of the day now. But you get through with Jesus, you don't go by rules and regulations. It's a new creation, it's a new man, it's Jesus in you. The Bible says that that which is of man is an abomination to God, even if it's rules and regulations made up by people. Now look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2 there, which I've referred to. He says, so you're going on about what you should do, about new moons, about Sabbath days, about holy days, and all the rest of it. Touch not, taste not, handle not. He says that they're all to perish. It's the new man in Christ Jesus that's important. What man does corrupts. When man gets hold of the Bible, the Word of God, and starts making up rules and regulations, it corrupts. It brings people into bondage and into corruption. And they can't keep the rules, and in the end they say, ah, blow it. Or they get crushed and live lives that are no good to God. No service, no power. Anything contrary to sound doctrine must go. Now look at 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So, says Paul to Timothy, verse 2, you preach the word now, be instant, in season, out of season, get on with it, whether you feel like it or not, preach, preach, teach, teach, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. There's coming a time they won't endure, they won't put up with sound doctrine. Who won't? People won't. Even people in churches won't. And I will say, Paul wrote that nearly 2,000 years ago, and I would say that now is the time when people will not endure, they will not put up with sound doctrine. Some people will, but many, many people don't put up with sound doctrine. Won't put up with it. What does it say they will do? It says, after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. The Greek word is myths. Myths. Turned unto myths. That's the character of our times. Why, in our times, the great so-called theologians, those that emerged from Germany, great disaster that was, had the cheek to call the things in the Bible myths. But Peter says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables, cunningly devised myths. We know what we believe. We were with him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they want teachers that will teach what they want to hear. Itching ears to have pleasing things taught. Things which hamper the flesh. The character of the times in which we live. What are the times in which we live? We go back a chapter, chapter 3 in 2 Timothy. And Timothy says there, this know also that in the last days, when are the last days? We're living in the last days. Perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Character of this country, please yourself what you do. Lovers of their own selves. Covetous. Want, 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 want. Whole structure of our economy is based on covetousness. Switch on the telly. Onto ITV. What do you get every 10 minutes? When you're just getting into the program, adverts come on. What's it? What are they appealing to? A covetousness. You've never had a car like this one, mate. Oh, think you've got a good car? Look at this one. Look what it can do. Yeah, I want that. God, look at old banger I'm driving around. I try to encourage people the other way, you see. I drive a wreck around so that people think, well, if that's all, I'm quite content with what I've got, you see.
Tell you, our neighbours have got no problem with us. The old motto, keeping up with the Joneses, they can do it quite easily, you see. So they're quite happy. I park my wreck outside and they're quite happy to park their sort of tea registration or whatever it is next to it, you see. Because it looks gleaming new model. Isn't it? Covenants. Christmas time comes. Who do they work on nowadays? Go on, you tell me who they work on nowadays at Christmas time. The kids. All those marvellous toys that do things that they never do when you get them out of the box. You know, you get them out of the box and they're just lifeless and they don't do anything. What does the Bible say to Christians? Paul says it actually. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Having food and clothing. Sorry, it says food and raiment. Got pulled up on that one before. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Yeah? We're a content people. We should be anyway. We're in sound doctrine. But people will be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Yes, amen to that one. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, can't keep promises, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Man, that's the character of the age we live in. Pleasure. All geared to pleasure and leisure. Who wants to work? Leisure, pleasure, all the time. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden... Sorry about that. But it's what it says in the Authorised Version. Silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Boy, there are going to be some future problems. Things are going to get worse. But that's what people are after, you see. What they want to be taught, and not what God wants to teach them. Time is coming where people will not endure, will not put up with sound doctrine. Let's be caught in the current of the times in which we are living. And begin to look at things from the world point of view and despise sound doctrine. People say, come on, pep your life up a bit. Shabby old life. Get this, get that, get the other. No, with all you're getting, get understanding. Sound doctrine. That's what we need. Now in 2 John chapter 9. It says, whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ, he has both the Father and the Son. Let's abide in the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of Christ. The Anointed One. The Messiah. The teaching of Him. You've got the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not to your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Can you tell me then why it is? When the Word of God says that, look at the age which we're living in. It's just like Paul said to Timothy. Perilous times. People will be like this. They won't endure. They won't put up with sound doctrine. They want to do what they want to do. Covetous, they want pleasure, but they won't want what God wants for them. They won't abide in the doctrine of Christ, because they've not got the Father, they've not got the Son. He says, you abide in the doctrine of Christ. And if anyone comes and they don't bring with them this doctrine, don't receive them. Can you tell me why the churches are so intent in receiving those people that don't abide in the doctrine of Christ? All this unity business, embracing those that don't embrace the doctrine of Christ, embracing those that are not only erring from sound doctrine, but are actually not even of the Christian faith nominally. Buddhists, Muslims, and so on and so forth. Great efforts are made, aren't they? I can remember 3 years ago, was it, when the Queen said in her Christmas Day speech that she loved to go to the multi-faith service in Westminster Abbey or wherever it was. We're not just Christians, but other religions too. And all worship one God, don't we? No, we don't. I've marked in my Bible, we've not got time this evening, all the times that Paul refers to God. And he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you say to a Muslim, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He'll punch you in the face. Allah, he's not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet these Christians, so-called, leaders, so-called, say we all worship the same God, call him Allah, Brahman, call him whatever you want to. It's all the same God, really. It's not. Now, people say that's being... Well, you're not being very tolerant, are you? God tolerant with the devil? Are we called to be tolerant with false doctrine? No, certainly not. He says, If any come unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not in your house, neither bid him Godspeed.
What it says.
See, there's one truth. There's one God. There's one way to God. The Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. There's one name by which you can be saved. The name of Jesus. The Bible says all these things. Not me saying it. The Bible says it. And when someone comes along and says, ah, yes, but we've found another way of salvation. Through meditation, you can go through various stages and, you know, take that eightfold path to nirvana. What? Who told you that?
Oh, the Buddha. Siddhartha Gautama.
He snuffed it. Over 2,000 years ago. And he never came back.
Do you find Christians protesting about the way their faith has been blasphemed in the Quran and demanding all the copies of the Quran should be burned? No, why bother? Muhammad's dead. He's dead. He died 1,300 years ago. Jesus died. But he defeated death. He rose again.
He is the one way to God. He is the one way of eternal life. He showed to us, God showed to us, in that he raised him from the dead. That's sound doctrine. How do we know he was raised from the dead?
There. They witnessed it.
Well, we could talk about that another time.
But he was raised from the dead. And there are enough people here tonight who can say, he lives. He lives. I know he lives. He lives within my heart. We know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well,
that's sound doctrine.
Titus, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, says, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Who's he?
Well, he says that's what a bishop should be able to do. Now, by a bishop, he didn't mean a bloke with a funny hat and a crook and a long dress on.
A bishop in the Greek is the word episkopos, which means an overseer. An overseer of an assembly. An elder. What's he got to be? Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, those who want to speak against these things. Because there are many unruly and vain talkers. He says their mouths must be stopped, those who speak against these truths. By sound doctrine. Holding fast to the faithful word as he's being taught. In 1 Timothy 4, now I'm going to race through this now, I'll just give you the references. But in 1 Timothy 4, it says that there are seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. The devil, Satan, wants you to believe lies. That's why there are so many religions in the world. Because Satan wants you to believe lies.
By knowing sound doctrine, we can oppose those doctrines of demons. By knowing sound doctrine.
By holding fast to the faithful word. In Hebrews 13 and verse 9, it speaks about diverse and strange doctrines. The Greek word for diverse means actually multicoloured. All sorts of opinions. We're interested in all sorts of opinions for doctrines. We want the sound doctrine. That's the trouble with churches. I've told you once before, a long time ago, that one fellow stood up in a church once and he said, we like to have visiting preachers because, you know, our pastor, he preaches to us, but we like to listen to somebody else's opinion, see what they think.
You're not into opinions. Yes, of course we might have different viewpoints, like, you know, I've got a different viewpoint from Barry Smith on these things.
But we want to know what the sound doctrine is. And we can't have differing opinions on that. Diverse and strange doctrines, no place for them in the church. Strange, alien, foreign, demonic again, you see. And the old enemy's trying to sow those doctrines, those teachings. You know the sound doctrine, that's what you need. In Revelation, it speaks about the doctrine of Balaam in the church. It speaks about the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in the church, and it speaks about the doctrine, or the teaching rather, of Jezebel in the church. We don't want any of them. Kick them out. Balaam taught the people to sacrifice to idols and to commit fornication. He taught people to do that. You can read about it in the Old Testament. He got people into worldly relationships so that they would fall and that they would not be living lives pleasing to God. The Nicolaitans brought a world order into the church, world government into the church, the worldly way of government. We've got it today. Why is it that churches have to have business meetings and agendas and minutes of the last meeting and democratic votes? Because that's the world's way of doing things. It's not the biblical way of doing things. They never had it in the New Testament. They were led by the Holy Spirit. The Nicolaitans introduced a world order. Nicolaitan means Nicao means to conquer, and Laos means the people, is to do with oppressing the people. Balaam means the same thing actually in Hebrew. Lording it over the people of God. Oppressing the people. You've got it in the structures, the hierarchies, in the churches. Power structures. Why, I even get stuff through the post nowadays inviting me to go on courses and seminars to learn about management principles to be used in the church. We don't need to know management principles and how to manipulate people. We're led by the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans introduces the world system of things into the church. To control, to subdue, to crush the people. The people at the bottom of the stack. The majority. But God doesn't want you to be like that. Jesus said, I came, the Lord from heaven said, I'm moving about a bit, the Lord from heaven said, I came to serve. He washed their feet. And the greatest among you can become the least. And he tells us in the New Testament, that God hasn't chosen the few to be ministers, to boss all everybody else around. God has given gifts to the church to equip the church to serve, to minister, and to edify one another. In other words, God wants you to be all to be ministers in the church, to serve. Because we're brethren together. And Jezebel, well, she introduces those corrupt spiritual things into the church. The world in the heart, Jezebel. That seductress in the Old Testament. Spiritual fornication. Well, these things have got to be thrown out. These mouths of false doctrine have got to be stopped. How can we stop these mouths of false doctrine, of false teaching? By sound doctrine. By Jesus. And knowing him. Hallelujah. Paul cried out in Philippians, didn't he? That I may know him. The devil wants to trip us up. Doctrine of Balaam. The devil wants to subdue and to crush us. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The devil wants to control us. The doctrine of Jezebel. We're having none of it. Praise the name of the Lord. Sound doctrine. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, which is the fourth one about sound doctrine. Speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Those things which are fitting, are suitable for sound doctrine. Those things which tower up as being associated with sound doctrine. Bless the Lord. Verse 7. In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Verse 10. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Saviour in all things. Adorning the doctrine. The accompaniments of sound doctrine. Sound doctrine deals with present problems. There'll be none of those problems in our lives if we have sound doctrine. It will deal with future problems. When people won't endure sound doctrine, we will have sound doctrine. Praise his name. It will put down opposing doctrine, gainsaying doctrine. The mouths must be stopped. But it will produce in us a wonderful and glorious fruit that's glorifying to him. That's what we're reading about here. The things that accompany, the things that become sound doctrine. We will have lives that are beautiful and glorifying to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Verse 12 of Titus 2. Teaching us. Teaching us. That's doctrine. That denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Now the Bible tells us that Scripture is profitable for doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed, inspired of God, and is profitable for. And one of those things it's profitable for is doctrine, teaching. All Scripture. And in Romans 15 and 4, you'll find that that refers to Old Testament Scripture. The things that were written before were written for us, for our example. There's teaching there. The Holy Spirit teaches. We've already read that in 1 Corinthians 2. The Holy Spirit teaches us. As we know the Word, the Holy Spirit teaches us. And we know that in 1 Corinthians 14 and Romans 12, it speaks about doctrine. When you come together, every one of you has got a psalm, a doctrine, Holy Spirit given. And it says in Romans 12, he that waits upon teaching, upon doctrine, you know, he that teaches, let him wait upon doctrine rather, waiting upon the Holy Spirit. It's Holy Spirit given, this teaching, this sound doctrine. And it tells us in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 3 that it's profitable for God, it's according to godliness. Don't we want to live godly lives? Yes, amen, we do. How can we live godly lives? By knowing sound doctrine. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, this is where I want to sort of very quickly point out to us, I'm sorry about the time, the apostles' doctrine, because we must know what this sound doctrine is. I think we do know it's Jesus. But you'll find, and I did a quick survey through this today, and I'm not going to go through all these, but I'll just summarise. That you go through Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, you'll find Peter preaching. I've got five times when I've called him preaching, you see, in the Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, and chapter 10. Right now, he's preaching all those. What does he say? Basically, he says the same things all the time. Jesus, wonderful man. The man, approved of God, anointed by God. Miracles, lived the perfect life. He died, he was crucified and slain. He was crucified and slain not simply because you did it, but because it was God's plan. It was all part of God's purpose. And God raised him up. He speaks about the resurrection. Not possible for him to be holden of death. The scripture said so. He's been exalted to the right hand of the power on high. He is both Lord and Christ. He has given, pour forth this Holy Spirit for us to know life now. He says this is what the message is to you people. Repent and be baptized. Repent and believe. Repent and be converted. And you shall receive the forgiveness of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Praise the name of the Lord. And each time I've gone through this, it's the same pattern every time. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his work, who he is. It's presenting him, who he is now, what there is for us. Repent and believe. And then I looked at Paul. And lo and behold, in Acts chapter 13, Paul spoke of the same things. Jesus. There was no cause of death in him. Sinless, perfect, it says. He was slain, buried, God raised him. And each time Peter said it, God raised him, he said, we're witnesses of it. Every time, we're witnesses. And Paul says, God raised him, and they were witnesses of it. It was according to the scriptures, and through him we have forgiveness of sins. And in the epistles of Paul, you'll find the same teaching. It's all centuries. That's the apostles' doctrine. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And they knew that. They knew that. And they had this wonderful transformation of life, and this wonderful power of living, the apostles' doctrine. Now, John, when he wrote his epistle, said that which was from the beginning. That's what we declare unto you. Who's from the beginning? Jesus. It's Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. We read this on Sunday, very, very quickly now. Ephesians 4 and 11. It says this. It says God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave certain gifts to the church, including teachers, to teach, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. No more children. Not tossed to and fro, don't know what to believe anymore. When you get that sound doctrine, that's the sound doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Everything else flows from it. If you're worried about tithing, the Lord's Day, women's ministry, what else was on the list? They're all there at the back of my Bible. I've got them all down there. Fellowship, breaking of bread, fasting, ministry, evangelism, overcoming, worship, guidance, gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's all there in the sound doctrine concerning Jesus. It says concerning Jesus, and the men that looked at him, says they were astonished at his doctrine. And if we listen to Jesus, we too will be astonished at his doctrine. He teaches as one with authority, with power. He gives life. Now you say, you're doing a lot of teaching this evening. You've gone over the time, Jones. And doesn't the Word of God say, really, it's the Holy Spirit who teaches? That's right. The Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. The anointing which you've received abides. He teaches you all that you need to know. The Holy Spirit teaches you. But you see, God has given gifts as well for the church. And the Holy Spirit will take these words and take the things that have been said and apply them to our hearts. And Jesus said, you see, in John chapter 7, he said these words. And verse 15, he said, the Jews marvelled at him. And Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And that applies today too. If you will do his will, you'll know the doctrine, whether it be of God. The Holy Spirit will teach you the words that I'm speaking, the words that you read in the Bible. The Holy Spirit gives life. So, brothers and sisters this evening, sound doctrine, very important if you want to get on in the Christian life. Very important. Paul didn't leave them until they had sound doctrine, to declare all the counsel of God. Desire, the sincere, the undeceitful milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen.